You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 18th, 2020, and we're coming at you live from our bunkers. My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of a serious but not humorous conversation about video games experience points. Man,
we're getting loosey-goosey this episode. We're gonna look through the fourth wall on this one a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah, because we're gonna talk a little bit about the state of the world. And look, here's the thing: nobody wants to talk about the coronavirus, COVID-19, or think about it. We're already thinking about it, but at the same time, man, it is hard not to think about or talk about anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. Like, it's, I mean, both of us live in the Bay Area. It is currently, we're recording this early in the week. So we're finally
3 hours
hitting.
Until mandatory lockdown.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're 3 hours out from government mandated isolation. We're, you know, we're like 2 weeks from where Seattle was. And we're, you know, 4 or 6 weeks or something from where Italy was, you know, like it's the wave is hitting us. It should be noted that we learned nothing from the other regions.
That's very true.
And are doing this woefully late, but I guess better late than never.
Yeah. We talked even a little bit about talking about it last week, but it was like a little too soon. And
yeah, you know. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's basically the only thing that people are talking about and will be looked at as one of the defining moments of the decade, if not the century. So it's like, all right, right. Well, now not saying anything about it seems also strange.
It does seem also strange. Yeah. I will say that I think for this podcast, we will try to maintain our normal serious, but not humorless, and that I will laugh a lot. And make jokes anyway, because I think that's what we need in these trying times, you know?
I mean, we need to not lose our heads, and in order to do that, you need to be able to at least laugh at yourself a little bit.
I mean, we were built for the serious but not humorless moment that is right now, where you both have to take it seriously, but not so seriously that you're hoarding toilet paper.
I mean, can you... So, I don't know. Like, I still don't understand that, other than...
The toilet paper thing?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not... I mean, I don't understand it on any level. I mean, there's no, even in the lockdown zones like us, you can still go to the store. I mean, they're not, you know, it's not like, you know, what's the Half-Life city, you know, city 19 or whatever, where it's just like, pick up that can, citizen, you know, like, it's not like that. So you're not going to be stuck in your house physically. It's just that, you know, there's a lot of social pressure happening.
And supply chains continue to exist.
Right.
You know? Yeah,
And also, I mean, the disease is not even a gastrointestinal one. So, like, what are you afraid of? Like, you're not going to have, like, uncontrollable diarrhea from this thing. It's a respiratory illness.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, you should be hoarding Kleenex.
Yes. I don't get it. I mean, it really just must be one of those things. I feel like we actually talked about this when recently when it came to video games, where people just want to hoard things just in case.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is the equivalent of me having 50 million Phoenix Downs in a Final Fantasy game because I'm too scared to use them.
Dude, I mean, we just need to invent Phoenix Downs. That would solve the problem.
Right, just come on
it's
back.
It's crazy how weird is it that in the RPGs there's just always like a cure-all that just cures all ailments. Man.
Yeah, it's this elixir and I'm fine. I was poisoned, but I'm okay.
I think there are some diseases in games where you actually do have to just wait it out.
I mean, there are some games that take the tact of... Oh, once the battle ends, you're still poisoned. You know, we're not just going to wipe the slate clean of status effects or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, regarding toilet paper, maybe people just want to build like a toilet paper fort, you know,
for this their throne.
But look, we all have to work from home, so you're going to build your home office this way, you know? You can make your own standing desk with 1,000 rolls of Charmin.
Oh, the most ergonomic chair I could possibly have.
Oh, it's so comforting on the
multi-use,
rear end, dude.
By the way.
It's like it's designed for your butt.
it'll be interesting. Both of us have kind of strange jobs where, I mean, we are kind of privileged in that we're not, you know, we don't work in a restaurant. We don't work in a bar. I mean, hell, we don't work in a library. Like, everything is shut down except for kind of white collar douchebag jobs like we have. And yep. So we have this really weird vantage point where we're kind of slowly being affected by it. And seeing some of that stuff whereas other people get affected by it in a much more tangible way immediately.
For sure. Yeah. Like there's a physical element to it for a lot of people, especially those who like can't actually choose not to go where they go. I mean, like we've been over numerous times on this podcast probably as well, even though the subject is video games, about just weird injustices in the world. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like lack of healthcare and stuff. So
yep.
We don't have to recover that, but yeah, totally.
Did you see that today was a banner day for Steam usage?
Interesting. You know, that's not surprising at all. Yeah. Especially, I guess it was yesterday, right? Because it was Sunday, is my guess.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it was one of those, it made me think a lot about the job stuff, whereas, for me, the nature of my job means that this time has been even busier because the core of my company is remote collaboration across endpoints. Yep. And so this is it, you know, this is the big test for us. So I'm working even more than I normally would. But then you have, it's like today where there's, you know, there were 20 million people on Steam today, apparently, according to some metrics. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, right. There are some people that they physically can't work, or even if they could, the infrastructure is not really there for them to do their jobs remotely. And so there's this mass of people that are just figuring out something to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's fascinating, knowing that so many people are diving into those games. Like, I work at Ubisoft. I guess technically I have access to see like how many people are playing Ubisoft games. I'd be curious to see if it went. I haven't looked at that. I'd be curious to see if it went up. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean especially games like The Division or something, where it's a game that is uniquely conducive to having a long stretch of time to really sink into.
Well, I mean, the other thing that I think, and maybe this will kick off a conversation about the types of games that I think make sense or we would want to play in a time like this. But I think, you know, we are less than 3 hours from in the Bay Area, at least, a more mandatory lockdown. And across different parts of California, that's the case. The Bay Area, it's like 9 counties, something like 7 million people are going to be asked to stay indoors. And a lot of the social distancing conversation that I've seen, I think, is rightly pointing out that some of the hardest aspects of that social distancing stuff isn't that, oh, you're going to miss out going on your favorite restaurants or whatever, but that you're just not going to talk to people. You're not going to talk to your friends. You're not going to get social interaction. And I think what's interesting that I've seen pop up, even amongst my coworkers, is more of a concerted effort to play online games with friends. I've had people set up a Friday meeting at noon to play a word game online. Just to all hop in a call and have like a non work related casual conversation with coworkers, which, in a white collar job, surprise, surprise, a good portion of your day is spent just shooting the shit with people about, work related things or like what Netflix show, like there's a lot of casual conversation that happens in a workplace environment that we don't have right now. And I see people, and I think it's personally, I find it kind of inspiring that people are choosing to put in a lot more effort to be social online. And I think online games in particular is one way to do that. I know that's something I'm very interested in. I put out my Nintendo Switch friend ID out there on the internet to like let people know, hey, I'm going to be fucking bored because I can't leave the house. So, you know, add me and let's play a game and let's try to, maintain some sense of like human connection and normalcy.
There's that thing that you said about how so much social interaction is accidental or happenstance, I never really thought about it that way, but I mean, you're completely right. It's emergent. If you want to use a video game term, right? You don't schedule it. I mean, you do once you become a boring adult like us, but I mean, for the most part, a lot of your moment to moment sanity checks are just happenstance.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I wonder if there's, what are those games that you, go back to as a social space? Like, is something like League too intense, you know, that you have to focus on it, that it's not actually, you know, I'm trying to really focus on this thing. I can't really have a conversation. Whereas, you know, Destiny, I can just kind of run around, shoot some things.
I mean, Destiny's certainly up there. I mean, if I could get more of like friends and coworkers into League, I would. But look, the game's 10 years old. If you're not into it now, you're probably not going to be turned around to.
Hey, you know what? This crisis might now is there's never been a better time to start a MOBA.
Never. I re-downloaded Rainbow Six because I'm like, I know coworkers that play that.
Yep.
Maybe they can teach me to be good. You know, like that's one thing.
Maybe I can bring down the curve. I can flatten the curve, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the other one that I am just dying to play and I wish it was not delayed now is Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Because it's a calm, chill game. And my understanding is there's still going to be some like, you know, asymmetric multiplayer. But yep. I mean, generally speaking for me, like if I really want to... you know, create a social experience with folks online, I'm gonna pick some sort of casual online game I could play. I actually ended up, you know, pretty much every weekend, quite regularly, I play Magic the Gathering in person with a group of people, and we're literally not allowed to do that for 3 weeks. So we set up, we just use Discord, and I just point a camera down at on my table, and we've been playing that way, and that's sort of scratching that itch as well. So.
How is the setup for that? I mean, did you actually have to mount a camera directly above,
yes,
or is your wow?
So there's a video conferencing website called Whereby that I think was developed for businesses, but we use it for playing Magic the Gathering. So we just take our webcam, we point it down at our desk where our playmat is, and then we just hop in Discord and we talk. And you know, at this point, we know each other's decks. We've been playing a long time, and we know what the cards do. So it's pretty easy to do. But yeah, that's been a good one to go to. The other one actually that I haven't played yet, but I started downloading tonight to try, is the Call of Duty Battle Royale game.
Because it's free to play.
It's free to play. It's on PlayStation and PC. I have a lot of friends that are willing to try it out, including some coworkers that, again, I would normally be, you know, getting drinks with after work, but they live in the city. I live in the East Bay. I'm not going to see them while we're on lockdown. That's a really easy way to play a game together. And honestly, that the free nature of it is huge, because it's going to be difficult to convince someone who doesn't play a lot of video games to say, hey, let's try out, you know, the latest expansion to X or whatever, you know, if they're not really into it or they don't like it.
I was, it's never what you design the product for, you know, that's going to be like the next best, you know, role playing or like tabletop thing or something like that. And then, what was it? It's Slack. I think it's Slack, actually, that started off as their messaging tool. They were making a video game, and they made their messaging tool so good that they spun it off, and it became Slack.
No way. Is that true? I never knew that.
Yeah, Stuart Butterfield was designing some sort of... I think it was an MMO or something. I forget what video game. It was basically they were building a video game that really wasn't turning out well. But the messaging app that they built in-house to collaborate while they were building this video game evolved into what is now known as Slack.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like a multi-million dollar business at this point.
Yeah.
That's
more
awesome.
More successful than any than that video game that they were working on could have ever been.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's wild.
Did you see some of this Death Stranding real life cosplay?
I did. Yes. I love the idea that people are finding like humor in Death Stranding, because Death Stranding is a dour, sour game, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's in the future and we're all isolated in bunkers because of a disease and we can't see each other. Oh God, it's so real.
I mean, even the whole, like, you make a delivery and you don't even see the person you're delivering it to. You just put it on the conveyor belt. They obtain it. I mean, it's what they're telling us to do now. Like, don't interact with people, put it on the porch or slide it through the fence or whatever. And it's like, oh, just like Sam Porter Bridges was trained to do.
We were stocking up on beer today. Cause you know,
you gotta make priorities. The right choices.
Well, you know, we went to it's like, the lockdown's in 4 hours. We need to get necessities quick to the beer store. So we bought a bunch of beer, and on our way back, we were basically scoping out all of the restaurants that were still open, because in the Bay Area, if you're unaware, we're still going to be allowed to go outdoors to get exercise, and you can go grocery shopping. And the only non-essential businesses that are open are restaurants.
Yeah.
So restaurants can still serve food, but the vast majority of them are takeout only.
Yeah.
And we passed by Saul's in Berkeley, which is like a Jewish deli.
Yep.
Great, great pastrami. They have delivery that you can just pick up on the sidewalk. They'll just put it outside and then you just grab it. You don't have to interact with anybody.
Oh man, that's very good to know, because Saul's is one of that. If it would be a much darker time if Saul's was fully closed.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very real thing. Yeah.
We were talking about this before we started chatting, but not to get back onto the Death Stranding love train.
But we should though.
I mean, how prescient was this game now?
I mean, Kojima has the sight. You know, like, he is a seer of our times.
An oracle of our time.
I mean, nay, maybe even a witch, you know? Where was he when this virus broke out?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, never seen him in the same room.
We haven't found Patient Zero. I suggest you look at Kojima Productions. Yeah, I mean, above and beyond the fact that it's a world in which everyone is isolated because of a disease and people have to spread that.
Yep.
I love the idea that so much of that game is about creating human connections in a place where you feel as though you can't do it. You know, like, it's, and I think, man, it can be really depressing when you are browsing the news websites on the daily to get the latest updates about how many people are infected and, you know, what we think that the future might look like in X period of months, because we're in I think that one of the things that's so anxiety inducing about this particular crisis is that the scale of it, the scale of it in terms of time is so grand that, you know, we've been told that the Bay Area self-quarantine mandate is in effect through April 7th. That's at least 3 weeks was the term, at least. So it could go on much longer than that. Who knows, right? That is a daunting experience and can feel very isolating. And we were calling out how, you know, some people we know have been trying to create more online connections, but there is a lot of people rallying to make things better and keep people connected and donate towards food banks. There's people that have been rallying towards supporting, you know, small entertainment venues like theaters, movie theaters, or, you know, playhouses. But there are numerous other businesses, even small restaurants, Chinese restaurants, for example, where a lot of sort of racially,
the racist side of all of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
The racist side of the spread has impacted that particular community as well. And there's a lot of people that are sort of putting a lot out there to help maintain those connections. And so when you we're thinking back to our conversation about Death Stranding and how there's this beautiful balance, right, between the network in Death Stranding as this thing that is both alienating and isolating and bad, and something that connects people and is good, you know? And I think the internet and where we're at in terms of, like, online culture is putting that in very stark relief in a way that it's almost comical how similar it is to Death Stranding.
I know. It's everything, too, where it's just like the, how do you maintain, because there are some, like, pretty wacky parts of that game where, you know, there's moments where people are talking about, you know, collecting action figures and you're delivering, you know, stupid old movies to people and then you turn around and it's
you
literally pizza. And then it just, in an absurdist way, it mirrors quite well the juxtaposition of how serious this shit is, but also how absurd it is. And just how stupid everything is, where I have to worry about the littlest things now, which are scary and annoying, but also just, like, darkly humorous, and trying to maintain hope through all of that stuff is just a weird Kafka-esque scenario that game just did a very good job capturing.
I mean, and even the pizza idea, like, it's so funny because in that game, it's like, this is ridiculous. I got to get this pizza to this guy. Like, there's more serious things to worry about. But now when you see, you know, numerous businesses closing down as a result of coronavirus, you know, I went to go get a coffee today and my favorite cafe was shut down for the, you know, at least through the end of the month, probably well into April as a result as well. There are little things like a fresh pizza from a bakery that can sound pretty fucking good, you know?
Yeah. Well, because it means it's something more than the pizza. It's a little sense of normalcy, or it's a small piece of nostalgia that is fine to to indulge in. And all of a sudden that stuff doesn't seem so stupid, because now that we're in a very small version of our own Death Stranding, it's, oh, I now can fully empathize with why you would really, really want to finish your Criterion collection of videos, because that's what keeps you going, you know?
Yep. And, like, again, just to give more Kojima praise, but, like, I do think it's super interesting that that game is encouraging people to think about these ideas of, like, the internet and human connection and and America. And, like, man, what? Like, that's... It's just bonkers.
Yeah, it's... I wish we didn't have to come to this realization, because that means we'd be in a better spot geopolitically or whatever, but I am glad that we had... We accidentally had some game that was a pretty wild mirror onto the reality that would happen even, you know, 3 months later.
Dude, if Kojima's next game involves any kind of natural disaster, alien invasion, like, run. I will be fucking bunkering up. Let me tell you what. Like, I will be like, Kojima, what do you know? Tell us.
Well, what else? Any other particular games that you're thinking about playing in this strange... It's stressful and boring at the same time. It's the whole... everything is boring until everything is stressful swing that you get into.
So I've also been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Red Eagles all the way, or Black Eagles, whatever. Clearly, I don't know.
Whatever. But, I mean, they're eagles.
Well, in terms of your point about creating a sense of normalcy, that game, while there's some epic battles, whatever, that's the least interesting part, the best part, just like Persona, is hanging out with your friends. You know, being a teacher, living a somewhat normal life, dealing with small petty problems like... Oh, someone lost their notebook. I have to find out whose notebook this is so I can give them their notebook back, you know? Mm. I am not interested in playing, like, any number of dark, gritty, horrifying games set in dystopian futures. I'm not going to be busting out The Last of Us anytime soon, you know?
Right.
Which, side note, probably a good call to have that game delayed.
Did they delay it again?
I think that I thought way back it was due in March, right?
Yeah,
it hasn't been delayed. It hasn't been delayed as a result of the coronavirus.
I just didn't know if there was something with the studio or something like that. Okay, so it was just the initial delay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because otherwise it would be coming out right now, right?
That's true. Man, what a rough.
Maybe they knew something.
I was about to say it could either be a rough time to put out a game or an amazing time to put out a game, depending on how things are going.
I mean, it's weird, right? So, like, movie theaters, Hollywood is basically grounded to a halt at this point. A lot of films have been put on hold. A lot of films have been
delayed. Even films that were finished, right? Like, didn't Disney put Mulan on hold?
Yeah, Mulan's on hold. Not Fantasy Flight. Fast 9.
Oh, yeah.
Has been delayed. Several films, including Birds of Prey, has hit on demand sooner than they would normally have put it on. I think
even, like, Disney put Star Wars out earlier than they were planning on.
Yep. Yeah. I drove past 3 movie theaters today and they were all closed. So like people just aren't going to see movies, which is super interesting. I do actually wonder like whether or not more people will play games. You know, my sister hit me up and was like, "Hey, should I get a Switch?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, what else are you going to do?"
Yeah. I mean, even when you're not in a global pandemic, you should get a Switch. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Don't let this be the factor.
I kind of wonder, though, right? Like, you said more people have been playing Steam. I imagine some people are playing games right now that they haven't touched in a really long time for both human connection and just out of sheer boredom, you know? Yep. Thankfully, your hobbies and mine involve not leaving the house all that often, thankfully.
Boom.
So I've trained for this moment, but there's a lot of people out there who don't spend a whole lot of time indoors like myself. And so finding a game to play and you know, enjoying that with friends might be actually kind of new experience they can carry forward. So
I forgot to do, I mean, our annual Journey playthrough actually just happened. It was supposed to happen on Friday, but I forgot to play it. But I think I'm going to try to play it either maybe this Friday or something. It's like a week after its original release, but I think I'm going to try to play it this Friday and just see how that hits me at this point in time.
That game is so good. And every time we play this, it's a whole new experience.
Yep.
Impossible to play that game right now and not think about the virus and how many lives have been lost and like human connection. I did end up playing it on the anniversary day.
Nice.
7 years at this point, which is nuts. And I found someone. I encountered them, and it was like great. And then they left, and I really wanted to see who they were. I was like, oh, maybe it was Scott, or maybe it was like somebody else. But I backed out to put on my white robe because I had not realized that. I had forgotten to put it on. Mm. And when I finished the game, I realized resetting that loses.
Yeah.
That so.
Just another wanderer in the desert at this point.
Another wanderer, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so. I gotta. Like I said, things got wild, so I couldn't do it. But I'm definitely gonna do it this week, and also like thinking about what this means going forward. I mean, obviously this sounds alarmist, but I do think this is a pretty society altering event for at least many countries, and so yeah.
And at least for a short time, right?
Yeah, and but I think there will be reverberations around everything, around how people live when there's future disasters, how people work just going mm-hmm. forward. I mean, there are people being sent home for remote work, and for sure not all of them will come back into an office. I mean, we're going to figure out how a more distributed society works, and yep. what does work and what doesn't, and that will eventually manifest in the art going forward. And so depending on how long this specific scenario lasts, there will be impacts. I mean, whether it's more multiplayer games or more kind of social multiplayer games or mm-hmm. or maybe something different where we have, you know, a year from now, will we have a bunch of games that are meditations on I mean, for lack of a better term, strands, but even if they're single player games, you know?
Yeah.
It will. So I'm pretty interested to see what this does just from an artistic perspective, to say nothing of the logistical perspective of getting a game out and yep. finishing something as a team who tends to work together in person, creating a game. I don't know. That stuff, I suspect we will see at least two high profile delays because yep. of this, if not more. And I would not be surprised if this causes some really big impact to the console launch in the fall.
Yeah, that's a very, especially because we haven't seen anything from Sony. Like, that's a yep. really interesting idea to think about. Yeah, I mean, certainly I think we're realizing that more jobs can be worked from remotely than yep. we have been told.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I think, yeah, I think that would be an interesting impact. I mean, I certainly hope people will wash their hands more continuing into the future.
Yeah, everyone's going to really learn the count to 20 rule. I mean, I wonder also just, it doesn't make you wonder if we were just less filthy all the time, how much pain and suffering would be mitigated? Like, what if we were always washing our hands this much?
I mean, for sure. I mean, it's crazy to think about how many things we do just on the norm that when you're in a scale of a crisis like this, changes how people behave, right? Yeah. Like, we know that in the height of a pandemic like this, people are more likely to get their flu vaccine. So, and I know for a fact there were numerous people at my work who chose not to get a flu vaccine because of the same bullshit that you hear every year where it's like, oh, well, I got it last year and I still got sick because they got sick with a different strain or what have you. Or, you know, like, I don't believe in them for X reason or Y. We know that more people will get the flu vaccines. That will be a net good. More people are social isolating right now. There's a drop in people being generally sick from other illnesses besides COVID-19. Yep. Which is interesting. Washing the hands. Even something as simple I saw as the CDC was commenting about, a lot of what's been going around has been lessons, especially over the past few weeks, that are the best ways to wash your hands. Like, wash it for 20 seconds, sing happy birthday twice. One of them was dry your hands with a paper towel because they dry your hands quicker and the wet environment is better for bacteria and viruses. And so there are so many places that use the air dryers. You know, like the Dyson ones.
And we
already know from previous studies that those things are fucking disgusting. Like, they are like not good to put your hands in, right?
Right.
I mean, again, totally unrelated to games, but I am curious, you know, in a year from now, are people going to be removing those from their establishments because they now have this negative connotation of a sign that the people who are owning that establishment don't care about your cleanliness and your health.
Right. You know? Right.
Or how we greet each other, right? Like, some people were saying, oh, maybe we should be bowing more often, you know?
That's true. Anything but squishing our stupid meat appendages together.
Yeah. Or even going back to the conversation about video games and online play, right? I think it's always a little bit weird to meet someone and say, like, hey, here are my online personas, you know, like find me on Instagram or find me on Facebook. But I wonder if people that are experiencing long bouts of self-isolation may be more likely in the future to, you know, have an online presence that they're willing to share and make public and participate in some of those like online forms of play that they might otherwise not have been interested in. You know, I've added like 10 people to my friends list as a result of this past week, week alone. So,
That's the thing. Hopefully we can retain some of that connectedness, even though it's distributed, because really it's just an acceleration of what had been happening, period. I mean, people have been writing stories about the decline of things like bowling leagues or, you know, professional societies or church going or what have you. All of that stuff was weakening, but it's being replaced by this more nascent network. And, you know, maybe we can keep a little bit of this this intentional mode that we're having to take now. You know, this is forcing us to reckon with what we had only been kind of reckoning with out of accidentally. We're now having to reckon with it purposefully around how do you actually maintain connection in a society that is actually getting physically more distant from each other.
Yep, for sure. And funnily enough, I think that people who play a lot of online games are more equipped now to handle it, you know? Yeah. Like, because they do have very strong connections across the world via the internet with friends that they've met online, you know? Like, I have friends in LA, and I've got a friend in Thailand, and I've got friends across the world that I have been playing video games with for years. And in a way, I think I am probably brought more comfort knowing that than some of the people that I work with whose friends groups are small and local and physical, who are probably a little bit more overwhelmed than I am because they don't have this network of kinship that they can lean on as a result of forging online relationships in fictional worlds for years, you know?
Yeah. Someday we'll look back on this and say, that was when we turned the corner. Or we could say, well, we really missed the boat there.
Well, fingers crossed.
And someday when our grandchildren are carrying 10-foot-tall backpack stacks of supplies across the the barren yet beautiful wasteland.
You know, I am fascinated by what stories we'll have about all of this in like a year's time. Assuming this all blows over, you know, when we're alive.
Right.
Like, even I would, you know, I listened to that Star Trek podcast, the next conversation, but I'm, you know, like a year behind. And I'm sure their weekly episodes, they're talking about this. And in a year from now, when I'm caught up, their podcast will be talking about it and I'll be like reliving it, you know, in the same way that, you know, if you're listening to this, it's you know, March 2020 right now. But for all we know, someone might be listening to this episode a year from now and suddenly reminded like what it was like back in that time period, what some of those thoughts were and have, the power of foresight. So.
Man, this guy seemed really stressed out. Now that we've uploaded all of our consciousness to the cyber dystopia, then everything is a lot simpler.
Yeah, way simpler when you don't have a corporeal body to have, you know, ooze things out of.
Yeah, we've left our physical nature. Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, I will just say stay safe and also stay, I guess, calm out there.
Yeah.
I know aware, it's hard, especially maybe? If people are of, I mean, you know, we all have people in our family that are more prone, more vulnerable to this than others and just more vulnerable to disease in general than others. And I know that's super, I personally know that's super hard and stressful, but I hope that people are finding connections where they can and being able to, you know, just take a little bit of comfort in something as stupid as this podcast or a video game that they like and being able to put one foot in front of the other, because really that's the only option. And as long as you can keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep doing it. And something that lets you do that in a more pleasant way, even if it is something as silly as a podcast or a pizza you really like or whatever, if that keeps you taking one step forward, then do it. It's great.
Amen.
So I hope that everyone's doing okay out there.
And we will see you on Animal Crossing Island.
Visit our island.
Visit our island.
Can't wait for that game. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. Come on down. Bring your friends. Just remotely at first.
Yeah. We'll strand it up together.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will be talking to you next week.
Ciao.
Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to.